Hello, and welcome to the Inclusive Activism Podcast. This, as always, is your host, Rowdy Duncan, and I'm really pleased that you hit the download button or that you've already hit that subscribes button for us. Really happy that you're going to be there for the podcast today. I'm really excited about this one. This interview I've been chasing for a really long time, but I didn't have the opportunity to sit down because I wanted to do a face-to-face interview with Eric Thomas. He is the owner of Newfound Power. He's also co-owner of Lyft, of 180 Cuts, of Echoscapes, of Newfound Power Gear, and in the band The Will. But, I mean, this guy does a lot of stuff, but we had spoken a long time ago about trying to create the things that we have right now, and it's just amazing that we're at a place where we can sit down and talk about what dreams we had had and how we'd taken steps to make these things actual creations, actual things. So I'm really excited to get into part one with Eric Thomas of Newfound Power. So, okay, I am here with Eric Thomas of Newfound Power Gear, The Will, Echoscapes. Am I missing anything?
180 Cuts.
180 Cuts, yeah. So,
Lyft Athletics.
Which one was that?
Lyft.
Lyft Athletics, yes. So I want to make sure I get all that stuff in there because Eric is obviously quite a busy man with quite a few different things that he's involved in. But Eric and I have been friends for over two decades now and actually met with my parents, working with my parents' companies. And it's kind of cool because I remember a lot of the conversations that we used to have back in the day were a lot about what we're doing now, which is just fucking amazing. In my opinion. So
good conversations back in the day.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think set the table for where we are with a lot of stuff.
Motivating.
Definitely. For my listeners, because a lot of folks don't know you, and I want to give you a chance to kind of tell your own story. Who are you? What's your background? And what kind of got you into being the guy you are today, trying to help the people you get to?
It started as a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. That's when I kind of got into it. That's what sparked the NFP gear, mm-hmm. the movement, all that. Started personal training, started with one person, started with a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And it just started going from there. Had 20 shirts, sold those, 40 shirts, 50 shirts, 100, 500, kept going, got more and more people, more and more people.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized, you know, being positive is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, helping people is a good thing. It's rewarding.
Yeah.
So that kind of got addicting, and then we just... I don't know. I would train some people and then they would go off, they train people.
Yeah.
You know, everyone just started built this kind of mini community and everyone was helping each other. It was a pretty cool thing. That kind of sparked the NFP gear, which is the supplement line, clothing line.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of blew up from there. People seemed to really grasp onto it.
Yeah.
Just because I think people were kind of looking for something to grab onto.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you don't have that. And I didn't have that.
Yeah.
So when I had that, I mean, I know it felt good for me just to be a part of that. So I'm grateful to everyone that grabbed onto it now.
Yeah.
You know, they feel good too.
Yeah. And so when did you start lifting? Because I mean, lifting's been a huge part of something about lifting too, man. I like the word lift. Lift and lifting, just really positive.
Yeah. Probably when I was about 16, I started taking it serious.
Yeah.
I started training with my football coach before school.
Mm-hmm.
Started lifting with him in the mornings and then lifting after school just because I liked it so much.
Yeah.
And then hit it daily for about 20 years now. So
yeah.
It's going pretty good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels good.
Yeah. So again, when you were working with my folks, my parents do like a freestanding sculpture wearing. It's kind of more construction than it is art, it feels like, but it's art too. But it's kind of more of what it was. When in your development did you see yourself coming to the space that you're here? You know, because like you spend a lot of time by yourself having ideas, like getting a sense of like dreams and stuff. What do you think was like the moment that helped you decide to move in this direction? Because I mean, starting personal training on the side is not that big of a deal, right? Like that's easier.
Right, and I kind of fell into that. You know, I was working for National Rock and Sculpture.
Yes.
To give a shout out there.
Yeah.
They were, you know, they're cool. So then I was mixing concrete. I did that for a few years.
Yeah.
And just busted my ass at that, and I actually enjoyed it. But then I always kept thinking that there was something else. You know, there's always like this thing in the back of your mind, like, you know, you could do more, even though I try to kick ass at my job.
Yeah.
And then moved up in the company, foreman, started welding more. Got an opportunity there and just always wanted to excel and keep going and going and going.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, man. Then started Echo, which was cool.
Yeah.
Started doing that.
So tell them a little bit what Echo.
So Echo Skates is, it's more of what we were doing at the other company.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't put concrete, so it's like steel birds and mm-hmm. steel statues of angels, like all different kinds of statuary.
Yeah.
So that took off too, which was pretty cool. I started that, but then in 2008, which was when everything crashed.
Very interesting. So time.
It was going good for a while, and then that crashed, and pretty much was at a pretty low point there.
Yeah.
So I had pretty much $11. I was completely broke. I didn't have anything going at all, and that's when I started pursuing the training.
Yeah.
Because I actually tried to get, I didn't tell many people this, but I tried to get a factory job. I started in desperation.
Yeah.
You know, it was pretty shitty, man. So I was struggling for a while, and then luckily I hit there's a job for Echoscapes I was waiting on mm-hmm. for about 11 months that called up and said, we need you in Chicago.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, could he shoot down here? I said, definitely. Grabbed the crew of my friends, busted ass, knocked that job out.
Yeah.
You know, I had just a cushion of cash real quick, and then really, you know, with my wife Faith, really took that and started blowing up and going after the training and all that.
Yeah. And so how many people do you have like working with you as trainers now?
Now, we got about 22 trainers.
Wow.
And we got two facilities, and we're looking on getting three pretty soon. In August, maybe a third location, and then we want to start branching out and just, you know, with everything, we want it to be, you know, a lift gym in every state.
Yeah, yeah, man, that sounds really good.
Kind of take it to the kind of extremist.
Yeah,
with
right.
everything, but that's all right.
Well, and for people that don't know you, you are a huge person, physically a large person. Like, what do you go? What's your like height, weight?
6'3". Right now, I'm going about 285.
Yeah. So again, just a really large human being. And also, you know, tatted up, like pretty intimidating looking guy. Although the funny thing is that's not the best part of you, right? The best part of you is I think that you're inspiring, that you're positive, funny as hell. One of the more funny people I've ever met.
Appreciate that.
But, you know, people look at you and they immediately pigeonhole you into what they expect you to be.
Yeah.
You know, be this giant physical just thing. And I think that's the thing that's probably most interesting about, like one of the things that happens to be really interesting about you is you could have easily been rewarded for the physical presence that you are.
Cause right.
You know, like back in the day you had your bit of a street fighting legend
in
locally, and everybody just kind of would want you to be that same thing over and over again.
Well, you get, you know, I got stuck in that for a while, probably a good 8 years.
Yeah.
You know, pretty good record there.
Mm-hmm.
But you get, you know, you try to find a place, and then sometimes it's negative, but that, you know, at the time is temporary, it feels all right, because you kind of felt like, well, this is who I am.
Yeah.
Then I am this, you know what I mean? And it's got a bunch of trouble, street fights, stuff like that, some pretty violent stuff, but, you know, after you come home, and then it's kind of not all it's meant out to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's bullshit, and it's fucking lonely, and it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, everyone is like, yeah, that's cool, man, you know, that's whatever, and you think that's who you are, and then you kind of sit and reflect, and you're like, man, I feel like shit, you know.
Right, and it's not who you are,
no,
it's just
not
who they wanted you to be, right?
It's not, and then you fall into it, and you feel the pressure of that, so you got to uphold this bullshit, you know, persona and stuff like that, but then that's why as soon as I got into the training, met my wife, and you start like, I don't know, man. It feels good to be the good guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It does feel good.
Yeah.
And you start helping others, and then The only good thing about having a, you know, we had a window of your life where you were this.
Yeah.
You know, and you have this reputation is that you can, you know, you get that respect and you kind of just like, you know, you have more power in a good way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's always been interesting too, because I've noticed in the time that I've known you, when men are around you, they really want to impress you too. And that's been, God, since the moment I met you. Like, that's just always been the case. How's that been? Like, because I'd see when we used to go out when we were much younger, men, like, posturing. Like, I remember doing it myself. Wanting to be or look tough. And then, like, how did you craft a message to tell them, like, look, I did that. That's not the thing that you want to be. That's not the best of us. Yeah. Like, how did you, like turn that corner, because you turned the corner for yourself. How'd you communicate that to everyone else?
I don't know, man. You try to put it in a way that it's pretty cool, man, to be positive, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Throw an arm around them, give them a fucking half hug and tell them that, hey man, it's cool, you know, chill out.
Yeah,
you know that it's cool, man, what we're doing and all that, you know, it feels good.
Yeah,
let's be a part of this. And you know, you don't have to doing that bullshit and just start thinking positive and just, you know, help people out once and see how it feels.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, the fleeting glory of having won a, you know, I mean, it's a street fight in a back alley. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it does feel good in the moment.
Right.
But, like, you still got to go home at the end of the day.
Yeah, man.
You know, you're looking at the four walls, like, there's nobody else really around.
Right.
And trying to get people to be their best. That's one of the things, we continue to dream. That's the coolest part about us.
Right.
One of the things that I'd like to figure out a way to do with you someday is help show men the best way of doing masculinity.
Right.
Like, it's okay to be masculine.
Yeah, right. Man.
But you don't. That doesn't mean you punch people in the face. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what that looks like.
And a lot of that is just, it's like a slight. I just think they just don't know where they fit in. So you got to try to find something, because, you know. And they, even though it's not them, you know, being a fake somebody instead of being a real nobody. You know what I mean? They kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They grab onto that. So then, well, I'll pretend to be this because, well, at least people will talk to me, even if.
Yeah.
In any light, negative light, you know what I mean? It's just.
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah.
You know.
So, one of the things that I wanted to take some time to talk to you about too is, for me, I think when I talk about like personal leadership specifically, there's like a code in the way the world is written that asks you to be a certain thing in a certain way, and you're supposed to just kind of like fall into it and like be that thing,
right,
like over and over again. Like, the world just has this way of like making you conform to what it wants you to be. And I think a big part of like doing leadership and thinking differently is like liberating your mind first, because I mean that's where like all the good stuff comes from,
right?
You know, so someone comes into you, and I know people don't know this about you as well. One of the things I always got really pumped up about that you told me about back in the day was you'd point at, like, some guy just horribly out of shape, exhausted, sweating, you know, like, obviously doesn't go to the gym all the time, right?
Yeah.
Like, sticks out like a sore thumb, right?
Yeah.
But, like, you see, you would look at him and you'd be like, look at that guy, look at that effort. Look at the push.
Oh, yeah.
Look at this other guy. Like, he looks like $1 million, like, does steroids, whatever,
right?
But he's, like, sleepwalking through his thing. He's not trying. He's not even making himself into anything.
Right, yeah.
When you told me, like, you know, look at effort. Look at people, like, changing. Look at, like, where that person's going. Because, like, mentally, like, the fat and out of shape guy, that's where you want to be. Like, that moment of change space, like that.
Yeah, that's exciting, man. That's,
yeah.
You know, effort is exciting, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Anyone, you know, that are the uphill battle, the underdog, I mean, that's fucking awesome, man.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I still do that now. Like, I don't do as much training now, but sometimes I'll just see somebody. I'll be like, you want to train? I'll train you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just be like, you can see. And I always had an eye for potential.
Yeah.
If I could say there's one gift, that would be an eye for potential, that you just look beyond something. Someone has a look in their eye, or someone that you can feel they want something. I'm pretty good at seeking them out and just be like, well, let's go, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because effort is everything, man. That's an exciting thing.
Yeah, pretty much everything yields to effort at some point in time.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, right.
It's just amazing to see that happen. So say someone comes to see you and you're not seeing that in them, right? You got to awaken that in them.
Right.
And I think what I heard you saying is like, you see the best in them when they don't know that it exists themselves.
No.
Kind of like walk me through that process. Like, how do you kind of like get to them? Like, what do you do to try to connect to them to kind of awaken, you know, to break that code, right? That code of like being what they tell you to do, or like, I'm supposed to have the car and make so much money or whatever, you know, like.
Well, be positive is one, but also see through the bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Call them on it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm this and this. Well, no, you're not.
Yeah.
And you're not that, but you can be that. Well, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just, and usually it's one thing, you know, one, usually you can find one thing that really is getting to somebody or that usually holds someone down. It's usually everyone has their own story, and then fucking listen.
Yeah.
And just be like, you know, hey man, it's all right, dude. You know,
yeah.
A lot of people confide in me and you know, tell me stuff,
yeah,
which is good. Because then you can get down to it, and then you can kind of help them with that issue, and you'd be surprised when people drop that weight of the world off their shoulders. They can do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah.
And people sometimes find this thing that's kind of holding them down, holding them down.
Yeah.
You know, it sucks.
Well, it's hard because, again, like, it's what you were taught. It's what you
were,
you know, doing the thing that you were shown to do instead of, like, you know, dream, like, finding your passion, like getting to the thing that matters, you know?
Break the mold.
Exactly.
Do your own thing, man.
Another thing that I wanted to make sure I had a chance to talk to you about is, because I think it's a thing that really gets us kind of juiced and amped, and it's a thing that I want to talk about, like, separately, but it's one of the things I think if I get a chance to talk to you, it'll help me.
This is a perfect time.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. So it's the idea of there's a pain threshold.
Right.
I think with anything in life, and most people kind of get to the place where they feel pain, or even, God, anymore, it's discomfort.
Right.
Like, I'm slightly uncomfortable. Right. I don't want to do that anymore.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about, like, that pain threshold idea, and, like, how do you help people, like, see the opportunity of, like, that pain means change?
Yeah. I think it's like that with lifting, and it's like that with life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you just push through, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You just got to keep going. I could have mixed cement for fucking 20 years. You know what I mean? But instead I wanted to, you know, weld, be the foreman, move off, start my own company. You know what I mean? It's the same thing, but you just keep going.
Yeah.
It's like with everything. Playing guitar.
Yeah.
Sucked for years. You know, you just can't do it. Can't just keep playing. All right, whatever. You know, keep going. Play it. You want to be in a band, then do it, then try it, and it's effort.
Yeah.
And then just keep going.
Yeah.
With everything.
Yeah.
The training, you know, and it's just, it does suck. You know, like, first started training, you have one person, two, and then you just keep going. You know, I mean, you could easily just, oh, I just want to be, you know, Eric Thomas training, and have, you know,
right,
and two people,
yeah,
and stay here. But I was like, no, I want to name Newfound Power Training. I want to blow it up. I want 20 trainers. I want, you know, gyms. I want that.
Yeah.
And then see this vision and just go after it, and then work your ass off, get through the pain, and just keep going.
Well, I think what people don't know too is the pain is evidence of progress.
Yeah.
You know, like,
right,
it's you kind of get addicted to it in a way.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know when you feel discomfort, you know when you're like, damn, that hurts.
Something's gonna happen, man.
Right, like it's magic, right?
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah,
something's happening there.
Yeah, you're doing, like, you're something.
Yeah, there's a push.
Right.
You know, and it's one of the things that's super hard to, I have a hard time explaining it, because if I don't lift, man, I get antsy, I get bitchy,
right,
like I get pissed, irritable, frustrated, because I need the feeling of resistance, you know?
And like, I also think you're, in the back of my mind, you're thinking, well, maybe I'm not doing all I can.
Yeah.
So then that sucks.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sitting here, maybe you're agitated, be like, I can do more, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's the same way, you know, what you're doing too, man. You just keep wanting to do more, you want to help people, you know, what you're doing is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's funny, because I remember us talking, I can't remember the name of the job sites anymore, but I do remember the conversations really well, and, you know, it's probably a good thing we're not in the same town, because otherwise, and it's funny, because my partner currently says, you know, Rowdy, you gotta watch yourself, because otherwise you'd be leading a cult,
right,
like, before you know it. But I think for me, it's
a positive cult.
right?
Motivating cult.
Right.
Nonviolent, nice.
Exactly. Good
the
stuff.
Best cult ever.
Well, how I try to avoid it, and you have to kind of tell me what you do for it too, because I find myself in the same places. I try to tell students or anybody I'm working with, you don't admire me. You admire my process and where I'm going.
Right.
Like, if you're trying to follow me, you're following the wrong person. Because I'm on a guy walking a path, you know? You might be admiring me or admire that I'm walking the path, but, like, I'm not there. Like, there is no there.
Right.
The best part of the experience is there's no there. Could you imagine being done?
I think that, in my case, I think more people admire the idea.
Yeah.
The idea that the unity, the idea of, like, the family sense, the idea of that they can do it too.
Yeah.
You know, that's the... You kind of start representing, like, possibility.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know, I didn't have shit.
Yeah.
And I know some people that don't have shit, but they want it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they want this and want... And then it's just... You know, I can relate to them.
Yeah.
You know, you can relate to them in different ways.
Yeah. I imagine there's times where they'll try to glom onto you as though you're the source of the thing. You know? How do you, like, point to it's the process... It's the where we're going that I want you to be addicted to. Not me.
Say
like, it's not about me.
A lot. Say you a lot.
Yeah.
And then, you know, have them do their part.
Yeah.
And let them have it, you know, be individuals.
Yeah.
And say, hey, that's awesome, man. Well, now what are you trying to do? You know what I mean? What are you going to do? And, oh, that's awesome. You know, and be motivating and help them in some way. You know, that's the good thing about businesses being successful. You know, I haven't really changed my lifestyle at all, but I am in a position to help others.
Yeah.
A bit more.
Yeah.
Just through connections and different ways and backing them up.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Yeah, and I think, so I'm imagining some of the 22 that you have underneath you were some of those people, right? They're just like, I'm trying to change my life. I'm trying to do something different. I think people don't necessarily know that about you. Like, it's not just about you, you know, like it is about us. Like, how do we do the usness?
Right.
I've seen those moments where you kind of like bring someone under your wing and you're like, hey, you've been lifting here for like 3 weeks.
Right.
You actually sort of know what you're doing.
Right.
Like, work out with this person. Right. Help this person feel like they belong here.
Right.
I don't know that everyone knows that no matter who you are, there's going to be a day at the gym where you feel like you're an imposter, you know, right. Like you don't belong there or right. Like... You're just like going through the motions or whatever.
Yeah.
I think you're really good at trying to find a way to like just share that.
Right.
Like that we're not perfect.
Right.
That we're not done.
We can see if someone's uncomfortable. It's easy to just kind of, you know what I mean? Let them belong because, you know, some people are nervous already coming into a setting like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, I think you should just embrace everybody.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too, embrace everybody. It's one thing that I have done. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a set person. You know, some of the coolest people I've met are complete underdogs. It's just,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not the cool people.
Right.
Just like these random people that, wow, they got big hearts, man. You know, good people. Like,
yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that about this guy. You know what I'm saying? Or this person. So.
Well, and the fact that you're willing to be open and share, you know, like that you tell your 11 bucks story or like the, you know, the times where you're in spaces where you're, you know, you did come home and you're like, God, this is lonely. You know, like.
I still have the temp agency.
Yeah.
I still have their, the ones that didn't hire me. They still my number and they still call me.
Yeah.
I never go off the list because it's a fucking reminder to get off your ass and do something.
Right. Yeah. Remember when you waited on this call?
No.
To do whatever random
shit
job?
I would have quit after a month. They were right. Whatever. Right.
Yeah. But people don't know that stuff. And most of the time, people aren't willing to share it.
Well, everyone just wants to put on this thing. Oh, I'm sick. You know, I did it.
Right.
Just, you know, with ease and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, that's a shitty story.
Man, it's a fucking grind. It sucks.
Well, if it was easy, that story sucks.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I was naturally always good. Yeah. I never really had to work for anything and I'm just awesome.
Yeah.
Who wants to hear that story? Yeah. That story sucks.
Right.
You know? Like, it's the struggling. It's the push to overcome. It's the at all odds. And the other thing that I was going to say, too, is I think reframing the idea of strength as, like, just being honest with who you are and where you're at. You don't have to pretend or put on this front.
Right. It feels good.
Yeah. Just be who you are.
Right. Yeah.
Or like have the low moment.
And that's usually when leadership comes into play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, one, grind with people, you know, stay close to everybody.
Yeah.
Listen to them, but then don't put yourself above anyone. And then if you tell people to work, you better be fucking working.
Yeah.
If you tell people to do this, you better be doing it.
Yeah.
You know, practice what you preach, which isn't too common these days.
No. No. I mean, there's a lot of people that'll tell you what to do.
Right.
Yeah. They don't do it.
Right.
Yeah, and I think leading by example is a huge part of what you do, too. If you're not in there working as hard as possible, like, who can you be to even give advice?
Right.
But Jesus, man, you did that back, like, when we would be working the 12-hour days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And going to try to lift at Chula Vista's amazing.
That's right, man. Great facility. 110 degrees.
Yeah.
Rusty weights from the chlorine, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was in the bottom of the pool, right?
That was great.
Yeah.
I missed that.
See, and people don't understand the whole miss that idea.
Yeah.
Can you explain, like, why you missed that?
I don't know, man. It was the beginning. It was cool.
Yeah.
It was just something about it. Yeah. Hardcore atmosphere.
Yeah.
And then that was cool, too, because no one was fucking watching.
Yeah.
You know, now a lot of people I see watching, and they know you now, and they, you know, expect a certain... But back then, no one gave a shit. And it was like a proof I was doing it because I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Not because someone was watching me or I was trying to build this thing up. You know what I mean? It was just like, and I wasn't trying to promote anything. I was just, that's what
yeah,
I was.
Yeah, you were being you.
Yeah, that was the...
God, I remember back in the days, I remember there was one guy at the job site that was coming up and they were asking you and they were like, so, man, I've been taking creatine for a while and stuff. Like, but like, how long does it take to work? And you're like, well, I don't know, like, how long have you been on it? Like, what are you doing? You know, you're trying to diagnose, like, what's going on? And the guy just says, like, what's your routine? What are you doing? What do you lift? And he's like, oh, you know, I just shovel and stuff. Like, I work around here.
Yeah.
And he's not getting, like, the results. And you're like, whoa. It's just funny to watch you just be like.
Just got a shovel, man. Concrete bags. Press them before you slam them.
Right.
Shoulder press them before you slam them. The best workout still.
Well, but I think everybody's looking for that magic pill.
Right.
You know?
Work, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the biggest and best of anybody, right. Like power lifters, whatever, like it's not physical strength. It's the showing up.
Consistency.
Well, the day you don't want to be there.
Right.
And like still doing it.
Yeah.
And I think like, even with you, like I think people see like the raging success, but they don't know that. Man, if you don't show up one Tuesday,
right,
you're gonna be forever be a Tuesday behind.
Right. Yeah.
And that it's not all at once, and right. You know, there's no like just amazing breakthrough. Like
right.
You can't get in shape tomorrow.
Right.
Even if you're in shape, you can't stay in shape tomorrow unless right. You work out again today.
Yeah.
It's that process.
It's everything.
Well, you gotta show up.
Yeah.
If you're not showing up for you,
I like that quote. What is it? It's tough to beat someone that doesn't quit.
Oh,
I like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because anything, even like the gyms now.
Yeah.
You know, nobody will out-promote us. Nobody will go and walk into every single place.
Yeah.
And invite every single business to our facility. Nobody will go out of their way and, you know, see random people and just be like, hey, come check, you know, here's a week free, come check it out. Like, no yeah. one will do that.
Yeah.
But we do that nonstop, every day, over and over and over.
Yeah.
And we're just treat people right and it's just growing.
When you bring people in, like I said, the community thing's important. The join the movement slogan, you always see that associated with you, Newfound Power Lift. Sorry, I gotta remember everything.
Yeah.
It's a lot of different businesses to get under there. How do you show them this is what we do and this is how we do it? Because, I mean, there's a line in Pantera pointed out by lesser men.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like there's it's part of the code, right? Like, in order to feel like I'm better than somebody else, I gotta belittle someone else.
Right.
Like, how do you show them we're really here for everyone?
You pretty much tell them that right off the bat, you know?
Yeah.
You come in, it's a feel-good place, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Treat everyone right and be yourself.
Yeah.
Don't try to be anyone else. And then it comes from leadership.
Yeah.
You know, the 10 strongest guys in the gym are the nicest guys in the gym.
Yeah.
They go out of their way. Well, these guys aren't being assholes, so why?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they treat us all the same. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
just like, you don't have to act macho or shit like that. Everyone's cool.
Yeah.
All the trainers are cool, you know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be on the team. They won't be, you know, and they all do their individual thing, you know, they got their own thing going, which is cool. But they're under the same idea. They're all positive.
Have you ever had to get rid of anybody for anything like that?
Nope.
Not that not you need to single anything.
Well, yeah. Not since Lyft. Not at all, because we wouldn't even bring anyone on the team that wasn't... We won't let anyone train there that wasn't cool and down to earth.
How
we've
do you
not reach out to a few of them? Just because, you know.
But, we don't invite certain people. Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
You know, but,
Well, yeah, they got to have evidence, right?
Yeah.
So what do you look for when you're trying to find someone?
For a trainer?
Yeah. Or just anybody for anything. I mean, you're pretty selective in finding folks to join you.
Someone that has an open mind and someone that is has a big heart. I think that's about it. There's no physical attribute. There's no something you got to talk to someone before you know.
Yeah.
You can't just see someone and be like, that guy's cool. You know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah.
And I don't go around and someone looks a certain way, guy or girl. You know, I don't go follow them and Instagram and shit. Like, I don't care. You know what I mean? It's just like, until I know them and know, you know, you can, through their actions, you can tell. But you got to kind of show that. Or yeah. You got to talk to someone.
Yeah.
But there's no way I can just judge and see someone and know anything about them.
Yeah. So. Well, I think people don't know that about you, too. You're watching without watching? Well, and because you don't like to just be ogled, you right. know? Like, if somebody's like, I fucking you, you're like, dude, like, what? What? Right. Like, yeah. What's happening? What do you need yeah. right now? And I think you found a way of, like, trying to find this good space of where you're being aware, but not just staring somebody down, too.
Oh, yeah, you get over that.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be an instant confrontation. Yeah. Or just, you know what I mean? We're like, who looks away first? But now it's just like, what's up, man? Usually that breaks the ice, but you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It's like, quit the standoff shit, man. It's all good.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised how just people are cool. And that's another thing that people don't get. You know, humans are pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They get a bad rap if you watch too much news or too much, you know, media.
Yeah.
But man, at the bottom, and it's pretty cool, man. People are pretty down to earth.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, you'd be surprised. Hey, what's up, man? That changes a lot. How's it going? Hey, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Hold a fucking door open once. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, just treat people like a human and see the best in them and just imagine.
It's pretty cool.
I try to call it assume rapport. I say, if you just treat someone like they're your friend or that they're of value, like 99% of the time, they're just gonna be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
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 You're nice. Yeah. This is good.
Because people want to be positive. They want to be good.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes you get people have a chip on the shoulder just for reasons, you know, sometimes good reasons. But it's just.
Yeah. You don't need it gotta, at the end of the day.
Yeah, right. And at the end of the day, no one wants to be whatever, a hard ass or, you know what I mean? Or, you know what I mean? They want to be cool. But it's just through whatever reason, rejection or through some other avenue or something bothered them at some time that they got this, you know, shield up.
Yeah.
So try to get through that.
Yeah, worried about being defensive.
Right, yeah.
All right, and with that was part one of the interview with Eric Thomas of Newfound Power. So if you enjoyed this, please leave me a email at inclusiveactivism@cox.net, or if there's something that really made you think, you can leave us a voicemail at 860-576-9393. I can always have Eric call and respond to your question for you, which is amazing. Also, remember that you need to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. Also, subscribe on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher as well. All those things go a long, long way to make sure that the podcast is out there and getting the recognition that it needs and deserves. And we are slowly building towards trying to make this more of a syndicated thing, but I do need the funds to make that more viable. Right now, all this stuff is coming out of my pocket, and I want to kind of get to a place where we can afford to embed some ads here so I can pay Sarah, my producer, as well as pay for some of the ad space and some of the time that it takes to make this stuff. So please subscribe, please rate and review, and please let us know what you thought of the podcast. I, as always, have been your host, Rowdy Duncan. And again, if you want to voicemail us, you can do that at 860-576-9393, or you can email us at inclusiveactivism@cox.net. Thank you very much, and I can't wait for part two. We'll be right back.